happy birthday.
First of all, what's going on? We didn't get a proper hello.
It's good to see you. It's hot out there.
It is.
Thanks for breakfast.
Oh, you're welcome.
It's good to see the mayor.
Yeah, he's a good guy.
He loves Weathersfield. I love it.
He loves Weathersfield. Yeah. And Weathersfield's a great town. I mean, that old Weathersfield is something. And where'd you go to eat the other day? You
said the Charles.
Yeah, that place is great.
It's that place in the winter, that bar is as good as it gets.
It's very comfort cozy, food. Yeah.
Comfort food. Well, it's chicken and dumplings on the menu.
I just feel like, and it's actually with like July 4th, it's in this old house. You know, like I don't get a chance to go to bars and taverns, but I love the concept of the old sort of 18th century tavern,
Yeah. You
know, and I love that concept. And that's not quite, it's a little nicer than that, but it kind of harkens to it. By the way, I got this, you have a Whoop, right?
I do.
I just got this Fitbit Air, which is supposed to be the competitor now to the Whoop.
Mm-hmm.
And because it's cheaper and it doesn't have an annual subscription.
Oh.
And you like that.
I do.
I think this is too soft on sleep. I don't think it does a good job with sleep.
What was your sleep score last night?
Well, I watched the whole soccer game and then I was a little amped up. So yeah. I went to bed like, I got like 5 hours, which I got fair.
Yeah.
But like sometimes when I feel like I didn't get a great sleep, it gives me a better score. And I'm like, it's bull crap.
Is that how it scores? It just said fair?
Well, it gave me the number of sleep. And then it breaks it down like REM and light and deep. But then it gives you a score that says like fair or good or not good or whatever. But I think my point is I think the Whoop does data probably still a little better.
It's a lot of data. It's almost too much data. Like, I don't think I need to know all of it, but.
Like what sort of things?
Oh, like
you need more like, you know, sodium in your diet?
Less sodium probably.
Yeah.
Less
what you
alcohol
just ate
probably.
For sure.
Yeah. You make me feel like I have to buy it.
You do.
See? And then you paid for it, and you didn't even have enough money.
Yeah, that was a dollar short today. That is true. Although he always, whenever like it's 50 cents, he keeps the 50 cents. I probably paid him a lot of money beyond
but
what.
You're talking about institutions. That guy, that whole thing is
it's
an institution.
And
it's so great.
I'm so sad that it's going to end because we're going to move in November to Windsor, but he also got another gig. And yeah, I mean, he doesn't make any money. He sells that whole truck. It's empty by the end of his day. And he makes nothing off us. He just comes to say, and he's here for 3 minutes, but he just likes us. And he's an institution. A bunch of stuff I want to talk about. By the way, I thought of you. Because if people don't know Chris Vandio from Penn Legal Strategies, you think of the life of a lobbyist. Yeah, he's a dedicated husband and dad. But he's also a golfer. And when Scotty parred 17 and 18 to not break 60,
yeah.
And then also the way he handled 17 and 18, I think maybe it was the final round, but you birdied 17 and 18 in the Pro-Am. Were you thinking that? Were you on the couch being like, I birdied those two holes?
No, the thing that I did is I went and looked at the scores after the first day. I shot 74, and I beat like six dudes who shot over 74. Reminder, I don't play from the tees that they play from.
Oh, you didn't play from the way back.
No, you don't. It's not my livelihood. There's no pressure on me
right,
other than
right.
The first tee to not
But
kill
still,
somebody.
74 is sick.
Yeah, played great. Played great.
That's
great.
Cool under pressure to do that. And you played with Brent Snedeker, who did not end up having a good tournament.
No, he had a good first day.
Right, and then he just dropped off.
It's hard, man. Golf's hard.
But that course is weird because most everybody does really well, but if the wheels come off, like.
Well, the rough is insane. And they mow it. This may be too inside baseball for your listeners, but they mow the rough towards the tee box. So if your ball goes
so
in the rough,
you're going against the grain.
It goes against the grain and it dives in there. So
they like if you screw up, it hurts.
It's the only defense for that place. It's so short. They're so good,
and they can't make it longer. But anyway, I was thinking of you because you told me you birdied those two holes, and I'm like, these guys are not birdying those holes.
I just want to point out, you asked how I did. Like, I didn't just send you a text like, hey, birdied 17 and 18.
Correct.
Okay. Like, people always just like,
you sent out a press release. Had Penn Lincoln Strategies on the masthead. It said, Chris Vandy, who have partnered Penn Lincoln Strategies, birdied 17 and 18 of the Travelers Celebrity Pro-Am. No, I did, in fact, ask.
It was good to see you there.
Yeah, it was fun. You know what? I will tell you, the Wednesday, I mean, for future reference for people,
go.
The Wednesday is amazing.
It's the best day to go.
Because my son did the score, the standard bearer, and he was like, dude, these guys were so loose and having fun. I was like, well, wait till tomorrow. It'll change. But the pros are, their demeanor is totally different.
Totally different. Sign autographs. You can get really close to them. I mean, and not just, you know, not that Brent Snedeker is not a great historical golfer he is, but you can get as close to Brent Snedeker as you can Scottie Scheffler.
That's crazy.
That's cool.
And then and there's fewer people. And I just, you know, for me, it was, you know, you've been here a long time now. I came back in 19 and I didn't really inject myself into the local media until like 20, 21 or two. And it's just kind of fun to know people. I mean, I have to tell you, like, to have familiarity to do the mini golf thing and just, you know, be on speaking terms now with all my older friends, you know, who still, nobody's left in the media, by the way. Everyone's still there. It's crazy. But it's just, it was really enjoyable for me. I felt bad for the tournament that it rained because I think it was going to be epic. They had 45,000 people on the course. They had an incredible leaderboard. And then I felt that even though they had a playoff, I felt like it really took the momentum away.
One hole playoff the next morning.
Which I thought was dumb. It's not there. It's not like Nathan Groob's decision.
What are you gonna
do? It should have given him three holes.
Oh, yeah. I mean, listen, I think the playoff there, not that Nathan's asked, and Nathan does a fantastic job, and Andy Bassett and the whole team. That playoff at that golf course, they should go back and play 15, 16, 17, and 18.
That's really right. Right.
Because those four holes are spectacular. And this is the fourth year I've played in this, and every pro I've played with said, favorite finish on the tour.
No, really?
Those four, you turn the corner, you could be down seven strokes and go eagle, birdie, 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 and you're suddenly back into this thing.
And as a fan, you can actually watch all four holes.
Watch all four holes. Like, it is set up perfectly for some kind of wild playoff, but Nathan Groob doesn't ask my opinion.
And then 18 used to not have those stanchions and stuff for the hospitality, and that whole hillside would be filled with people. I mean, I remember doing that back when I worked with Kevin Nathan at NBC Connecticut. It's just really, really cool. I want to get into some politics, too. We don't have a ton of time right here. I'm just curious on a national level. I just read the St. Anselm poll. You know, Chris Murphy, who you've known a long time, is polling at 1%. I don't even know if he wants to do it, but do you think he wants to run for president?
I don't know if anybody wants to run for president. I think that if
I think a lot of people want to run for president.
I think a lot of people want to wake up tomorrow and be president. Running for president is a whole different thing. I think if he had his druthers, he would probably take a swing at it. I don't know if he will or won't. I don't know if he's made the decision or not. It's really hard to do, and I don't know why you would do it.
Well, I mean, the Democratic Party seems like it's still not in a better spot. This whole, and I want to, we'll get into this after, but maybe like this Democratic Socialist winning primaries and stuff. I mean, the party establishment must be not happy about it.
Yeah, I guess the question is, are they going to win general elections? Because if they start winning general elections,
that's different.
That's a whole different thing. And frankly, it's kind of just the opposite of the MAGA stuff, right? Like 8 years ago, we were probably talking about, this isn't going to stick. This is pretty far out there. Now it's the direction of the Republican Party. This isn't going to stick. Well, maybe it is going to stick. Maybe this is the direction. And maybe the two parties, to our point, actually, when I did your show with Ozzy, maybe the problem is that the two parties are just getting further away from one another.
Well, yeah, I don't think it's – I think both extremes are terrible, in my opinion. So I think it's a troubling development if – But I also think that the establishment of the Democratic Party is not the answer either, because clearly that what's it gotten Democrats in the last decade? Nothing. Zip. You got you two terms of Trump and one term from a really, really compromised president. Yeah. So anyway, I can say that. You don't have to say that.
Well, he was as old as the current president and probably as compromised, only not politically and financially to other countries as the current president. But sure, I understand what you're saying. Okay.
I'll let you have the last word on that one. All right, we're back with Chris VandeHoof from Penn Lincoln Strategies here in Bryan & Company. You know, what's your take on this America 250 thing and the whole Connecticut booth and all this skipping it stuff?
I mean, the whole thing has been completely compromised by Donald Trump and
I understand
the requirement
that.
To make everything about him. So I get it. Like, this is not how we should be celebrating America's 250th birthday.
I don't disagree on the politicization of it, you know, in that it has become a little bit about him. But I thought Connecticut still should have done it. And my thinking, and now look at what's happening. Like Reese in the afternoon is going down there, and even like Candelora is behind it now. And
yeah, I don't think that there's a reason not to be behind it.
But like, why not just do something and have it be neutral and not political and then take the high road as opposed to taking like some sort of stance that only amplifies the politics?
Okay, but why aren't you asking that question about the person that sits in the Oval
Office?
Right,
but the thing is, you're not going to change that or dictate terms that. So I guess why go eye for an eye on that? Why not just be if that is your criticism, why don't you just be above that and just be proud of Connecticut and put your best foot forward? I mean, I feel like it would actually have been a really good political thing to just say, hey, we're going to represent Connecticut. We're going to go down there. We're one of the 13 original colonies. We supplied the revolution, and let's be proud of it. Let's not participate in all the garbage, and let's just do it and go home. And it, maybe they'll blow over, but like them saying again, doubling down on those $100,000 is, to me, is just
false. Well, it's certainly not about the money.
It's insulting.
Yeah.
But they actually say it. But I don't know. I find that the first step that you take to de-emphasize the politics, you'll end up looking better in the long run. And to me, it's just another whiny blue state move.
Yeah.
And I'm not a Democrat or a Republican. I'm not a Republican.
Well, you're one of those. You're not a Democrat.
I'm not a Democrat.
I know.
But I'm not a Republican.
Have you ever heard yourself talk?
I am not. You want to look at my voting record?
You're making an argument.
That doesn't mean I'm a Republican.
Connecticut should be going to this 250 thing. I heard you.
Okay.
But the second that I put it back on the reason that they're not going, you're like, well, that's ridiculous. They need to just get over that.
I didn't say that.
You
what I'm saying is
about this guy who's been in office for the last 2 years now, who's nothing but the most ridiculous.
Well, listen, I mean, I've talked plenty about how, you know, as people lost millions and hundreds of millions in crypto, he made close to $1 billion and he's made deals. If people don't know him, if you know anything about him, money is the most important thing to him. And so, like, for him to say, I'm not involved in any of it, no, the stock market's up, no, it's like that's flatly untrue. Like, I'm not afraid of looking at a spade and calling it a spade when it comes to that stuff. But I mean, to me, you calling me that is just me being more political because I'm actually not a Republican. But I do think that it would have been a good gesture for Connecticut to just not be political at all and just do Connecticut.
But do you think it matters?
Well, that's the question I'm curious about because right. will it make a difference in the gubernatorial race or affect his ability to get reelected? Probably not.
No. I mean, you think that this plays into gubernatorial politics in 5 months?
I don't think so.
No.
No.
I don't think that this is a thing in 3 weeks.
But I'm trying to – my whole goal of the show has been to – break down the silos and try to get both sides to talk to each other and not be so strident in what they say and their approaches. And I think this would have been a gesture that would have gone further toward that end, regardless of what label you try to give me. The glasses are still bugging you, aren't they?
I can't. It is like I honestly thought it was a bit.
I have these cheaters that I put on the end of my nose because I don't want to put them on like regular.
They're just so small. They look fine. It's just they're kids' glasses.
I know, but I don't like the big.
Yeah, you look like Ben. I thought this was a bit about the 250.
You need to get a mic in front of you if you're going to talk. I don't look like Ben Franklin. They're not quite that small. I mean, they're not like.
Yeah, they're not the bifocals but, at the very end of your nose, but it's just that, you know, I mean, talking about something people listening can't see is
it's off-putting, and you should be off-putting because you're fat. listen, are you watching any of the soccer?
Yeah, isn't it great? It's the best.
Did the kids stay up? Like, did your son stay up for that?
Jake stayed up through the first half, and then he made it to the hydration break.
Because you said it's time?
I mean, come on.
So what?
10.
So what?
Go to bed.
Put some nuggets in the toaster. Let's go. Let's dial it up.
Put some nuggets in
Come
the toaster.
Come on. Let's party. You're not a soccer guy traditionally, or you've always...
I follow soccer. You know, I'm a Tottenham Hotspur guy in the English Premier League.
So is my son. That's great.
And they avoided relegation this year, barely. You know, but the World Cup, I think, is spectacular. I think it's the best global sporting event there is, including the Olympics. It just is... The way the countries get behind this.
I mean, love it.
The Norway guys at the Travelers, the Scottish taking over the bars in Boston. I mean, African countries, you were talking about it on the way here. I was listening about how close they are to getting on to the next round and in the last 10 minutes.
Oh, it's heartbreaking.
Every game. Heartbreaking. Every game. Every one of them.
It's almost like I just can't, you know, and I have a friend of mine, her husband's from Ghana and she's from Kenya, and they – the whole African community, and it's not just the countries. They want all the countries to succeed. I mean, if Cape Verde finds a way to win, that would be insane. Well, it's interesting what you say, because I think that people coming here and having a good time has been good for America, to us to understand that we actually, there's a lot of good that's in this country or whatever. Yeah. But I mean, I think FIFA is so corrupt, I can't stand them, and they're almost ruined it. But they didn't. And I think this U.S. men's national team.
How far do you think they can go?
Well, I mean, if people who don't know, their best scorer so far in the tournament, they call him Flo Balogun. It's like Falogun is his first name. He could have played for England, by the way. And he got a red card, which means he can't play Monday against Belgium. The U.S. struggles against European teams, and I have a philosophy on this, that they. Against teams that are highly organized and technically sound, the U.S. struggles because they've never been able to do that stuff as well as European teams. And Bosnia-Herzegovina is not as good as Belgium, but Belgium's not as good as France and maybe England. So they have a bunch of guys that people who know soccer know, from Courtois to Lukaku to De Bruyne. I think they can beat them.
Yeah, and Lukaku's 38.
Right, they're all old.
Like Courtois is 40.
Yeah. Like, totally. But they're still there. I mean, they could.
It would be spectacular for us to beat Belgium, which I agree with everything you said. Like, I think if we beat Belgium, it's an upset. I don't know who's favorite, if that's out yet. But presumably Spain's going to make it.
And they would play Spain next?
We would play Spain next.
My God.
That would be spectacular. I don't know if we could beat Spain.
But
I
mean, it would be fun to see.
Ball's probably the best player in the world, or is about to be when Messi finally hangs it up. So. It would be awesome to watch.
Yeah, I agree. I just think that having watched this, I went to the World Cup in 94. I covered it in 98. Talent-wise, man for man, this is the best they've ever had. But they hadn't played together. And I think they finally have figured out how to support each other.
Country roads, man.
And this guy, Wes McKennie, people don't talk about this guy. He slams beers like all night, I think, and then plays his tail off all game. Like, he's a guy America can get behind. There's a bunch of them like it, but I like that guy. The story of, like, they wanted them to do the soundtrack for Back to the Future, and like Huey Lewis is like, I'm not doing a song that's titled like Back to the Future. And then was it Zemeckis? I can't remember.
Yeah, it's Zemeckis.
He's like, do whatever you want.
Yeah.
And then they came up with The Power of Love and Back in Time is a great song.
Yeah.
But you were too young to see that in the theater, right?
In the theater, yes. I saw the second one, which I didn't think was great, but the third one.
I don't even watch the second and third
one. So, I don't know what you have on your notes there with your glasses, but... my son's now, 10, and he's old enough now we're starting to watch these movies. So we've watched Back to the Future. And
don't do 16 Candles, Mark.
Nope, not doing 16.
It's a little rapey. It doesn't age
16
well.
16 Candles, Weird Science, all those is a little great. But we watched Ferris Bueller's Day Off, which is such a great movie. And we started it late one night, and he had to go to bed. And he went to bed right after the Abe Froman Sausage King of Chicago thing. So he comes downstairs the next morning. I'm making him breakfast or lunch or whatever, packing his lunch. And he comes in the kitchen. He's a handsome kid, but he's disheveled, just got out of bed. And out of nowhere, doesn't even say good morning. He goes, "You're Abe Froman Sausage King of Chicago." And I laughed and laughed. I gave him the biggest hug. I said, "I love you so much."
I couldn't get any of my kids to buy in like that. But Alan Ruck's birthday was like yesterday or whatever. And I never got to the clip and stuff, but I was going to run the clip of him when he's in bed. He's obviously like he's.
When Cameron was.
It's just so funny. And it really is the great. And they talked about how John Hughes. He had an ending and a beginning, and then he had nothing in between. And they just the process of making those movies. And John Hughes was on an epic,
epic
heater, man. It was just unbelievable. That voice is Chris Vandia from Penleague and Strategies here in Bryan & Company. We're heading to the finish here. I am off tomorrow. Corey Myers is here. I'm off on Monday. Corey Myers will be here as well. Just really quickly, I wanted to ask you, I assume you think Lamont's going to win the primary and then win the general. Is that what you think?
I thought so for sure before Josh didn't get his money yesterday. I think that's a major problem, and I'm sure he'll fix it and he'll get his money.
Losing
a week is crazy. And so,
obviously, you think it's like you think it's purposeful?
No, I can't imagine that. SEC's independent arm. I don't think it's purposeful at all. It was $1,300 or something like that. He'll figure it out pretty quick. But they can't turn it around fast enough for some reason. And so now he's going to be a week. And by the time he gets in the account and things are paid and on the air, as you know, takes time. I mean, we're looking at probably 2 weeks.
Yeah.
And now we're halfway through July. The primary is August, what, 11th or 12th, whatever that Tuesday is. So I don't think it's going to be enough runway for him to get the bird off the ground.
And the commercials are already made, I think.
Yeah, I think he's cut them, but
it's too late.
I think it's just
so too you late. Think that then. And then what about Lamont Fazio then?
I think Lamont wins this race pretty handedly.
Do you think Fazio? And then in 2030, you think like Fazio Scanlon? Do you think Fazio Tong? Do you think Fazio Isowitz?
Yeah, yes to all. I mean, who knows what's going to be in 4 years? But yeah, yes to all of them, right? I mean, I think all.
I think
of them.
Ryan's. I think he's a credible candidate. I think
how
he's
does
a
he
good
stay
guy.
Relevant for 4 years?
Well, what does he do? I don't know.
Right. I mean, he's a great guy. I think he was a really good senator. Worked well with him.
What would you advise him if you were advising him and say he does not win, which he could win? So I'm not. I'm just saying hypothetically, if sure. he does not win, what would you advise him to do?
I don't know. And you've seen this problem, and we'll see what happens with the Bronan Larson stuff. It seems that it's trending Bronan, but you see it all over the place. It's really hard to stay relevant once you're out. It just people just move on, right? It doesn't matter if you're Democrat, Republican, what your role was. Once you're out of office, staying relevant's really difficult.
Right. So what?
I don't know what I would advise him because I don't know what to tell. What would to tell him? Either Ryan Fazio is a Republican or a Democrat. What to do to stay relevant. You know, Luke spent a lot of time going to DTCs and trying to gin up some office he wanted to run for. The congressional thing worked out probably, but that's a lot of hard work, right? I mean, you're Ryan Fazio lives down in Fairfield County. Are you going to the Thomaston pancake breakfast or the...
Could he get a job in DC like for the administration or something? Would that help his cause?
I don't know. I think he's done a pretty good job of navigating the Trump stuff. So, you know, without embracing it too much in Connecticut. He's also seemed to kind of toe the line. So I don't know if he has those relationships or not, but does that keep you relevant in Connecticut or is that just a good job for the next couple of years?
I don't know. I mean, I think it's a great question to consider because I do think that, I mean, I didn't want Lamont to run because I wanted to see an open race and then I'm going to have to wait till 2030 and I don't even know if I'll have a job in 2030. So I'm just fascinated by that. I think the 2028 presidential and 2030 here in Connecticut, I know it's weird to think ahead already, but those things are, I think about that stuff all the time. I don't know why. Anyway, what are you doing this weekend? What do you got?
Staying in the air conditioning. May try to golf a little bit tomorrow, hang out with the fam, go to the pool.
That sounds nice.
Celebrate 250th. I got this awesome booth down in Washington, D.C.
You want to go?
It'll be us and 14 of our friends. What is the hat she's wearing?
I don't know what she's doing. Is that a sombrero? I think she wants to eat cake. We were supposed to eat cake on the air. We never did that. Well. We'll have to do it off the air. It's always good to see you, Chris.
Likewise.
Come back again. Chris Vandio from Penn Legal and Strategies.